Okay. Yeah? Yes. You could tell them.
Yeah.
By now they will have gotten it, but yeah. You could tell them.
You need to be careful, though, when you do the demonstration, that you associate them first into the picture. Then, I mean, I'm talking about the desire state now. Let's be clear. So when you elicit the picture of the desire state, then you associate them first into the desire state. You manipulate the submodalities for more kinesthetic so that they really want it. You make the desired state so desirable they lick their lips. And then you dissociate them. You tell them, okay, step out of the picture and shrink the picture small and make it small and dark, the size of a postage stamp on the lower left-hand corner.
When you adjust the submodalities for a swish pattern before you, in front of your practitioner's class, you should use a submodalities checklist to do that. Whenever you do submodalities work, you should have a submodalities checklist in front of you so that they will also feel like they will get a submodalities checklist out before they do it. Yes?
Primarily for?
Anchoring. Primarily for kinesthetics. Now you're going to ask me, what is for auditories in NLP? Oh, good.
Okay.
Because I wasn't going to answer. Tone of voice.
Yes.
Yes. If you have a few students. You better do the best you can to qualify them.
Yeah. Pray that you've got, you know,
pray that you've
got flexibility
some
visual folks. Of, yeah. You do the best you can. What can you do?
You still have to do the demo.
Yeah. So if you do the demo and you have somebody who finds it difficult, for instance, to make pictures, you will have to spend more time with them and ultimately have them find out what's the picture. Because in what we're concerned, there is no such thing as there's no pictures. Most of the people who will ever tell you, I don't make pictures, they go on vision.
We don't buy that. There's no picture, we don't buy it. Now, I don't know if you have enough time in front of the room to get somebody to get pictures who was unaware of pictures.
Yeah.
But when I'm doing therapy with a client, we took 25, as Adriana said, we took 25 minutes to get a guy in touch with his pictures that he made before he did this behavior
his
that we needed to
do. His primary rep
pattern.
System was kinesthetic and his lead system was kinesthetic.
And he was kinesthetic and proud of it. Good. Yeah.
So you are an example of the fact that you can learn it. So you know how it is.
Good. So you can give examples to your students.
Yeah. Yes? No?
You could. The problem with that, I've said that, and the problem with that is you want to get the picture that relates to the trigger. That's the problem. How do you know it's time to act? How do you know it's time to bite your nails? When you think of that, do you have a picture? Yeah, so she goes right this. She goes, okay, I feel like biting my nails. You go, good. That's your picture. That's the picture of the present state. Now, when you get the picture, this is what you say. This is good. Now, when you get the picture of your nails being, or your hands being right there, do you have the feeling of wanting to bite your nails? Right at that point, you say that. If they say yes, you have a fabulous demo subject. And if they don't, you pray that the gods are with you then. Because no matter what you do, there are some days when the gods just go, let's mess around with Tad today and make him suffer. No.
If you follow the...
Follow the script.
The script.
It says in the script, adjust the submodalities for the greatest intensity. Intensity would be...
So you modify just the main visual submodalities. So you make it as color-rich as necessary to have most... You may need to make it more pastel. You make it as bright as necessary or...
Only the desired state.
Yeah, only the desired state. So only the main visual submodalities.
Okay, yes. What does highly contextualized mean? Highly contextualized means that the context, you know what context means? The situation, it means the situation, highly contextualized means that the situation is very narrow.
Very specific.
It's not a broad situation like everything. It's more like really, really specified as to time and place. Yeah. So the boss looks at me funny, that's going to only happen at work. Yeah. Biting nails is a very specific behavior.
So it only happens at work, but that's not even specific enough. Every time when boss looks at you, you feel bad. They go, no, it has to be a certain way. It has to be in a certain position, and it has to have a certain look and a certain physiology, or say certain words associated with it, and only then.
I had one demo subject. Boss looks at him, and it was only from a certain angle. Can you imagine that? So the boss came up from over there and looked at him. He looks like this. So the boss looks at him funny. Doesn't matter. But if the boss comes toward him from this direction, it makes a difference. That's highly contextualized. But you got to find out how he knows it's time. Yeah? Okay. Good.
Did
yes.
Did we say everything about Swish?
Yes. Yeah, go. If you have difficulty getting the picture, send the person back down. I'm serious. Out of there. Yep. How do you know, as you see the time is coming, is a little imprecise. How do you know it's time to bite your nails when you think, when you think of knowing it's time to bite your nails, do you have a picture, is probably the best way I can think of asking the question. Could you ask the question in any other way and still succeed? Yes, absolutely. Would you pass the demo if you asked it in any other way? Yes, you would pass the demo if you were successful.
Succeeds.
However, if you ask the question incorrectly and you don't pass the demo, we will say you probably didn't ask the question correctly and that's why you didn't pass. So yes, you can ask it in any other way you want, but this is the best way. And I'm not saying that I know everything, because I got to tell you guys, I've been doing NLP for a long time now, 19 years, and I still don't know everything about NLP. Thank God, otherwise I'd get bored. Every student's different. Every training is different. Every group is different. They all have different concerns, and it's just marvelous if you're sort of into differences. And the neat thing about it is they're all the same because they're all students, and they're all interested in learning. When you say, are there any cases... If, yes, the swish pattern is from lower left to upper right for the person who's doing it, when the eyes go from lower left to upper right, the reason why they go from lower left to upper right is because when the eyes end up in the desired, when the person has got the desired state up on the screen, the eyes are in visual construct. That's the reason for that. You could, if a person was reverse organized, reverse that. But don't demo it that way. Demo it this way, only this way. The reason why the swish pattern goes from lower left to upper right is not the AD. It's the visual construct. I specifically asked Richard Bandler that question. And he specifically told me it's because you want the eyes in visual construct when they finish the swish pattern.
However, even for people who are reverse organized, if you do it this way, it works.
Yeah.
So it's not a absolute detail that must be respected.
You'd pass if you did it the other way.
Yeah.
But for demonstration, it's best to do it this way. Now,
two things very important about swish this. When you do the demonstration, you must break state in between swishing up.
So you go, have the present state on the screen, desired state swishes up, big and bright. Here it goes. 1, 2, 3. Whoosh.
Okay. Break
Open
state.
The eyes. Close the eyes. 1, 2, 3, whoosh. Open the eyes, close the eyes. Get used to saying that. Every single time you do a swish pattern, open
or
the eyes,
break
close
state,
the eyes.
Whatever you want to say.
You can say, do you smell popcorn in between each one? But say something to break the state. How many times do you do swish pattern? As many times as it takes for what? Till they can't get back the present state. You do swish pattern, And it says here, the speed should be faster than you can process consciously. Again, you must also do a break state before starting the switch over again. And you do it until they can't get the present state back again. So they'll say, and you could even give them suggestions. As you do this a number of times, you may find it's harder and harder to get back the old state, but you'll just have to try and really try to get it back. Okay. Anchoring.
Okay, yes. Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But if you move your hand, make sure you have the right place. Remember the lady in which I talked about? She was swishing somewhere here. So make sure you extend your arm long enough to be from the client's lower left-hand corner into the client's upper right-hand corner. So on the client's screen.
You can do the hand movements with it.
I can.
Just put it right here and you go, okay, 1, 2, 3, whoosh, like that. Yeah. Okay. Old state, new state, 1, 2, 3, whoosh.
Break state, okay. Old state, present state, desired state, 1, 2, 3, whoosh. Yeah?
Yes. They wouldn't be able to get back the original picture. They wouldn't be able to get back the original picture. They wouldn't be able to get back the PS on the screen. The PS on the screen. They couldn't visualize their hand being there. They could. They'll say, I'm having trouble getting back the old state or the old behavior. I'm having trouble getting the original picture back on the screen. Okay.
Just as a at the end of a swish, you need to pay attention. Some clients' new behavior may be out of consciousness. So, because I talked about the lady which in Egypt didn't do it well, and I had to demonstrate it for her, and then she had a reload. While I demonstrated for her, interestingly enough, I demonstrated with her because she never experienced swish pattern. So in this case, I considered it was appropriate to demonstrate it with her. And her unwanted behavior was that every time she would get into a situation where she will feel she doesn't know what to say or she's not in control of what she needs to say, she would bite her lips. She would go nervously this way. And she said, I realize how ridiculous I look. I look like a monkey. And she wanted to get rid of that behavior. I said, okay, what would you like to do instead? We established clearly the trigger. And what would you like to do instead? And she said, I'd like to check if my lipstick's okay, or lick my lips. And so we decided for lick my lips. And we did the swish. And then I asked her, now, as you think of getting in that situation again, and she went this way and she didn't realize. And the class started laughing. You're doing it! So you need to point out to the demonstration subject if they already do the behavior. Like, for instance, in the case of nail biting, and we did this several times, demonstration on stage, when the client goes, now imagine you want to bite your nails, and they go automatically.
They either fix their glasses or they check their hair or whatever they're doing. Okay. Anchoring. Yes, we got to move on.
Yes.
We're by the way, just so you know, for those of you who asked me when we'd be out tonight, we're running really late.
We'll be out
late. I have no idea what time we're going to get out tonight. So if you need to make a phone call during the next break, make a phone call. We might be here late. Yes. This is way more chunked down than we've ever been on demos.
We didn't talk about anchoring. Yes, hold that question, Lisa.
We're not on anchoring yet. Open.
Present state, desired state. 1, 2, 3. Whoosh. Okay, open eyes. Okay, close your eyes. Present state on the screen, desired state left-hand corner. 1, 2, 3. Whoosh. Open. Close an eye. Close your eyes. Open.
You don't need to run through the whole thing. Have the present state on the screen big and bright and have the desire state in the lower left-hand corner, small and dark, so you see your body in the picture, and then have it explode big and bright while the present state shrinks down and becomes small and dark in the lower left-hand corner.
You do that just
you don't
once.
Have, you only have to say that once, and then each time thereafter, you say present state, desire state, 1, 2, 3, whoosh, and then clear the screen. Okay. 15-minute break. Ready, go. Just so you know, we've never gotten as detailed on how to do demos as this. And Vesna said it's the best thing she's ever heard. So, yeah, we're really getting into it specifically. Here it is. So, what are we going to talk about now?
So now anchoring. We're moving to anchoring. That's right.
Before you do any anchoring, you need to have a diagram on the slide or on the wall chart. Every time you do any anchoring, I think you should have this up. So I should go through this, shouldn't I?
Do we need to go through this again? Good.
I think for people that haven't studied with us, I think we need to go through it again.
Okay.
Don't you?
Good. It takes 2 minutes, so you'll do it.
Okay. So I'm gonna imagine it's all drawn. By the way, for those of you that get the slide set, this is all animated, so it comes up one thing at a time. Shows the state really nicely. But I'm going to talk about it as though it was already drawn on your flip chart. So in any time there's a state, the state's going to come up and up and up, and there's going to be a point where you don't see the state coming up in the person. There's going to be a point where the state, whenever you elicit a state in anybody, that state is not sufficiently intense yet to register externally on that person. And then at some point you're going to notice that state has something that is verifiable externally. Usually it's skin color. It could be breathing. It could be pupils. It could be lower lip size. But usually it's skin color. As the state comes up, at that point, the minute you notice the state coming up, you want to get your hand on it. Now, most books, by the way, this is what you should be saying in your practitioner training also. Most books on NLP say anchor at the peak, but look very carefully. If the peak was right here and you anchored at the peak, you'd pick up the backside of the state.
And that's not what's supposed to happen, because the front part of the state carries the most juice, the most power of that particular state. Secondly, the end part of the state may conflict with another state which comes up while this state recedes. So your anchor won't be as precise in capturing the state you want to anchor.
So you want to anchor the front side of the state. So you get your hand on when the state comes up, 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 up. The minute you see it coming up, you get your hand on. Now, at any given moment, you won't know when the state's going back down. So the minute the state starts to go back down, you'll still have your hand on there. But the minute you notice it starts to go back down, that's when you take your hand off. That's your description of how to do this. When you teach anchoring, you should say this every time. It's on the CDs. Now, this thing right here should be up to 5 to 15 seconds. The space between the two vertical bars on the state right here, you should have the words up to 5 to 15 seconds, either inside that or with an arrow outside it pointing toward the inside.
Please pay attention. This is not an anchor.
Now, you might say, oh, yeah, I know that, Tad, but I watched people anchor during the worst thing that could happen. And I saw people anchor like this. That's not an anchor. That's not an anchor. That's not an anchor. This is an anchor. And this period of time of the hand on that person is up to 5 to 15 seconds. That means the hand could be on the person as much as 15 seconds. But this isn't going to capture the state because it doesn't do anything with the... It doesn't have anything to do with the peak. It just goes boom. That's not how you do an anchor. I don't care where you've studied, this is how to do precision anchoring. Yeah? I think the pressure, well, one thing is you should make sure that the person can take pressure on the knuckles I had a big burly guy in Washington, D.C. one time. I anchored him. He goes, ow! And the guy was big, you know, looked like he was a rough guy, you know, rough and tumble guy. And he goes, ow! Oh, geez, I'm sorry. So, but if they can take pressure, do some pressure. It depends on what the person, it's totally up to them. You could put the hand lightly there. One of the things
the
I like.
The issue is not how light or how heavy the anchor it is. The issue is replicability.
Yeah, it needs to be the same pressure each time. One of the things I liked to do was to vary the pressure with the intensity of the state.
So you start at
now that's
lightly,
real precise.
You press harder as the state goes up.
As the state goes up, you press harder, then you become lighter and lighter, and then the hand goes off. That's real precision. You can't see that when you're looking, though. When the students look at you, they're not going to see that.
Yes.
Ever? If you ask me the question ever, I'm likely to say yes. Go ahead. Sorry. Well, it works like this. We've actually seen people do this. Adriana's going to demonstrate. Yeah?
What am I demonstrating?
Anchoring. You'll know what to do when I start reading the script. Can you remember a time when you were totally motivated?
Yep.
Can you remember a specific time? Go
yep.
back to that time now.
Yep.
Float down into your body.
Mm-hmm.
See what you saw, hear what you heard, and really feel the feelings of being totally motivated. You laugh. I've seen that. The person goes into the state three times. I've seen it. So.
And then the student got feedback, of course.
This was in a trainer's training.
And he went and did the second anchoring, and he was this way. Demonstrate now correctly.
Yeah. Now, what I recommend, you're the client, right? Yeah.
I'm the client.
What I recommend is you take your hand and you put it so that your finger is there without any movement. This is how you saw me do it. So you take your hand, put it on your leg. The client's hand will be like, could be, yeah, that's better. The client's hand will be like that. So you take your hand and put it. Take your left hand, put it on your leg. Take your right hand, put it on top of your left hand, and then poise it directly over the client's right hand, which is next to yours, so that your finger is right there and you don't have to look. Then you look at the client and you go, "Can you remember a time when you're totally motivated?"
I don't know what you find, but I feel like laughing. I had anchored something there.
Cool.
That neck likes to laugh.
I'll use that tonight.
Okay.
So when you poise your hand over the knuckle, then you're exactly in the right place. Then you calibrate the client like this, and you have no worries about seeing him. Then you go through as much of the script as you need to. Then in that case, you don't have to keep bringing him back to the state, because you'll see him go in and out of the state. In that case, the anchor will be as long as it needs to be.
Because we talk about this, you need to be prepared when you do your demonstration. You may have a client that goes into a state, and the state starts going down, and of course you notice this and you take your hand off the anchor. However, the client decides to go back again in the state.
I've seen this happen too. So you have a one state, the client starts to go down, you get your hand off, and then the state comes up again.
And then you take your hand off again, and the client goes again into a state. It happens. So you need to be prepared to put your hand back on the anchor. It happens.
Yes.
We have to take that one out.
Yeah. You know what now think about this for just a second. So, yeah. Here I am. Now, can't reach it. Oh, well. Here I am, here, and I feel the state, so I give you a signal. So I give you a signal, and you react to it. When do you think you'll get your hand on? Way too late. Yeah. Yeah, it's in the notes. It's acceptable. It's common NLP practice. As a trainer, graduate of ours, I don't think I would do that. It's okay. I mean, as you know, the International Association in ELPTA doesn't have any standards for people having to visually calibrate to do anchoring. So I'm not sure what they do. But I would rather you were capable of doing it.
Now that we already talked about some things about anchoring, let's take it from the beginning. Anchoring is one of the patterns you have to demonstrate. When you first teach anchoring, you
must
absolutely must demonstrate. Now, remember that your students will have far less sensory acuity than you do. So your demonstration subject will have to light up like a Christmas tree, will have to have a physiological, very easily seeable, that's a word.
Seeable.
Yep, seeable, that's a new word. Physiological shift so that everybody can see it.
So here's the question you asked to qualify. It's in the notes. It says, you want to pick a younger person who can get associated into a state easily. So what I say before, so you want to look at the people, see who goes into state, see who you can see it on. But I say to people, who's good at going into a state? So you say, who's good at really going into a state? You probably want to pick someone with relatively fair skin with whom you'll have a major shift when you get the shift. And then it says here, when you ask a question to the demo subject, whisper it. It goes like this.
So this, please, this goes only for basic anchoring demonstration.
The only time you do this is a basic anchoring demonstration, and you do not, absolutely do not explain to your students what you're doing. And it goes like this. Microphone on. Can you remember a time when you, that's the standard start, isn't it? Can you remember a time when you, then you turn off your microphone and you go like this.
Whisper. And the client has a major shift.
Now, what you whisper to the student is extremely important. And the reason you whisper it is because it's installing a state in the students.
The students will be all like,
it's installing a state in the students. You whisper it because it installs a state in the students, and they're going to go like this.
What did he say?
That's a state of what? Curiosity. The best state to be in is a state that's curious about what the results are going to be.
Now, for ecological reasons, I don't know if you noticed, but every time we have a good demo subject that's a man, that's doing the demonstration. When we have a good demo subject that's a woman, I do the demonstration. That's for ecological reasons, because the question you ask, the secret question, goes like this.
Can you remember a time when you went somewhere and saw someone or something that you really, really, really wanted? I'm just going to stack that anchor right now. Okay. Good stay. I'm just holding that anchor right there. You set me up. All right.
I'm very good in getting into state.
So you go into the the way it goes is, have you ever been, it's in your notes. Actually, Richard Bandler will do the same thing. He says to a woman, he actually gets a woman up on stage and says to her, can you remember the moment before your last orgasm? Which I think is an ecological issue for me on that one. But that's what Richard says, and that's what he recommends. I say someone or something or someone that you really, really, really wanted. That'll do the same thing. Only if you're in a committed relationship, you guys want to do guys and girls should anchor girls.
An alternative question, if you have problems with that question, an alternative question, which works better for ladies than for gentlemen, goes like this. Remember when you went somewhere and wanted to buy something for your friend, and you saw something for you, and you really
had to have
that. Yes, it
for
does.
Women.
It does.
It's a sad comment on the state of affairs. Easily, they say. The ones in the back say easily. So it's a sad comment on the state of affairs in the world, but that's the truth. Shopping is more important than... Well, you know, that's the way it goes. Shoes.
Yeah.
So... You'd pick a woman for the demonstration.
Yeah.
When I was teaching alone, I always did a guy. Picked a guy. Yep. For ecology, I mean, unless you want to bed the other person, in which case that's what Richard would... What's the question? What's what?
This
it's on
the question.
Page 728. Right there.
Something or someone
you really, really, really wanted.
But you have to get yourself into that state.
And you got to growl the really. You got to
really,
really, really
want it.
And you have to get yourself into the state.
You got to get the state first, which is why we were so good at it. Later.
That's too much detail.
Oh, sorry.
So that's how basic anchoring demonstration goes.
You have to demonstrate basic anchoring the first time you teach it. You must. That's the only thing you have to demo in anchoring in your class, but you must demo basic anchoring the first time you teach anchoring. Yeah? You may decide to try to pick some other things to say, but this will work best. And you always have to have that chart up on the wall chart, the anchoring chart, with the 5 to 15 seconds in there. Okay. Stacking anchors. Now, the traditional way is to teach stacking anchors separately, but we teach it with collapse anchors.
Because we have the accelerated format. Yeah?
There is a stacking anchor, a demo. It's also called building a resource anchor. That stacking anchors and building a resource anchor is the same thing.
You have to elicit 5 different, powerful, highly motivated states for the client and anchor them.
Remember,
and then fire the anchor at the end.
Remember that the rule of thumb is your audience has much less of a level of sensory acuity than you have. And I've seen oftentimes in trainers' trainings when the trainer does a demo and you would think that the student on stage who came up for the demo would want to achieve a state of satori or something from a kung fu or a zen point of view. Because they go... And the trainer says, what states would you like to have? And the person says, I think I'd like to have centered calmness and
peace.
And
bliss
and relaxation. And so the trainer anchors them. In some cases, that trainer actually succeeds. Those are not states that your students can see, however. In order for you to pass the anchoring demo and stacking anchors, you've got to anchor some states which have some juice so that when you fire off the state... Oh, by the way, the rest of the anchoring demo goes like this. You say, let's see how that anchor worked. And then we say, did it work at all? And what we see is we see the same person goes back into the same state. So when you do the first anchoring demo, you must fire it off so they can see it. And then you've got to hold the anchor for at least 5 to 15 seconds so that they can see the peak of the state and all that. Then you fire it off to test it. So... In the
you
stacking
test it,
anchors,
when you test it and the client goes back into the same state, then you're done with the demonstration.
In the stacking anchors, it needs to be some state that the client goes into. Now, do it with me and I'll show you how it shouldn't look when you get done on stacking the anchors. You're all stacked. So they're all stacked.
Okay, now let's see how it goes. So I'm going to fire the anchor.
Yeah. And I've seen demos like that. I've seen NLP trainers, major NLP trainers in the United States.
Client goes this way and the trainer goes.
Like, do you see it? I'm sitting this close. I've got really good sensory acuity. I'm sitting this close to this major trainer whose name you would probably know. And she looks at the audience. She goes like this. And I'm like, what the hell is she calibrating on? Because I don't see it. So... If you're going to do a stacking anchors, a resource anchor, you'd better have some powerful states so that when you fire that anchor, the client goes back into the state. Yes. Absolutely. You fire the anchor. You don't have to go back in the state. The client, you fire the anchor for the client. Client goes back into the state. It goes into the stacked resource. We're talking about resource anchors now. The client goes back into the stacked resource anchor. If you're doing the single state, you've got to get a very powerful state, and you fire the anchor for that state, and you hold it until that state peaks. Did you see how long I held that anchor? I held the anchor to fire the state off. I didn't go like this. Now, let just for fun, let's just see what happens when I do this. Does she go back? And this is real important stuff. If I just go boom, like on off with my finger, she doesn't go into the state. I got to hold the state with the same pressure. Now she takes several seconds to go into the state. You notice? Then she's there. Okay, good. So she takes several seconds to go back in the state, and then she's there. So that's a real good example of a person going slowly into state on the backside when you're firing off the anchor. You've got to watch that. You can't just go on and off, because it's not going to fire the anchor on the backside of the stacked anchor or on the basic anchor. Who's good at going into a state? Who is good at going into a state? Yes. Oh, I do a break state. Do you smell popcorn? Okay, let's see how the anchor worked, and then fire it off. Or if you're doing stacking anchors, you stack it all up, and then you go, let's test this now and see how this resource anchor worked.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
No need.
Yes. When you're stacking anchors,
correct.
There's no need to break state.
Correct.
No. I don't think you have to count it. But you watch the state. You watch the state. So as the state comes up, 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 you keep your hand on. The minute you see this, you won't see the state when it starts from zero. But the minute it starts to break on the surface where you can actually see it, well, let me take skin color as an example. The minute you see the skin color change, you get your hand on. And you keep your hand on until it starts to go back down. Then you hold it till the person gets into what you would calibrate to be the peak of the state.
So the secret is calibration. See, up to 5 to 15 seconds has one major purpose: to have the beginners understand that this is not an anchor. On-off is not an anchor. They have to hold the finger down up to 5 to 15 seconds, which means up to 5 seconds, 6, 10, 12, up to 15. So that's a long time. Not to have them count. The idea is to have them calibrate.
Calibrate's the important thing.
That's the word, yeah.
The initial anchor and the testing of the anchor, when you fire it off, could have different timing, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Well, it depends on what demo I'm doing. If I'm doing basic anchoring and not stacking anchors, I will say, who's good at going into a state? If I'm demoing stack, actually, I never demo stacking anchors. And I only demonstrate collapse anchors if the anchoring exercise fails. Because you only really need to demo basic anchoring, the basic anchor. Because everything else is just a repeat of that, yeah. In your demo, when you do demo day, we do demonstrate stacking anchors and collapse anchors. the question for all of anchoring would be who's good at going into a state. And then you want to make sure you get a person who in whom the basic cues are maximized. Okay. You could ask him a question like when you're back at some modalities and you did Totally Motivated, you could see who has the greatest color shift for Totally Motivated. That would give you a couple days earlier before you needed it. You'd be ready for that demo subject because you'd pick the person that had the most, went into the state most with motivation.
Any other questions on stacking anchors?
Collapse anchors then is a reiteration of stacking. Is that a question? Okay. Don't pick Dimitar. Because he said from personal experience he's not very good at going into a state. He wouldn't be the guy to pick, yeah? That's because you have internal dialogue that's defeating mm-hmm. your purpose.
Yep.
Just shut off the AD and you'll probably do better. Yeah, just forget the negative talk. Yeah, that'll help you go into state.
So for collapse anchors, you need to carefully pre-qualify that the negative state is minor. You need to make sure you have a minor negative state. You don't want a major phobic state or major anger.
Although I did a collapse anchors with a phobia once and it worked, but you don't want to try to do it in demos.
You don't want to do it in demos. You can do it as an experiment in your therapy practice. That's not a story, but you don't want to do it in demos.
True. So for collapse anchors, you want to stack up the positive state. And you want to make sure the positive state is really stacked up. Then you anchor the negative state once. Oh, it says here, actually, anchor the positive state first, then the negative, then collapse, and hold on to the positive state for 5 more seconds. Do not stack the negative state. That pretty much sums it up. With everything we've said about anchoring so far, that sums it all up.
Yeah.
Always stack positive anchor with at least 4 or 5 states, and always add falling down laughing. For real elegance, you can covertly anchor naturally occurring states behind the back, like crack a joke and anchor the laughter. Yeah, remember I talked about that, how to do it? With your thumb. Put your thumb on the back of the chair and anchor it just by moving your hand. You'll get real precision anchoring without even looking at the person.
And then fire it off together with the positive state.
So when you're stacking the anchor, fire off the thumb anchor. When you're stacking another positive state, fire off the falling down laughing if you're anchoring laughter, and fire them off at the same time. Questions about that? Yes.
Sure. You can establish that with the client. Sure.
You could, yeah. I mean, if you're teaching collapse anchors or chaining anchors or stacking anchors, you know that the script says in a moment I'm going to do a process with you called collapse anchors, and that will necessitate I touch you. Is that okay? You should do all that when doing the demo. Yeah. You should ask which
Michael.
Sure. In case they have other anchors there, or in case they have a resource anchor they don't want you to mess with. Or what you could say is, can I use your right hand? And then they move their right hand over. And then you say, are all these knuckles okay to use? That's all. And if they say yes, then that's fine. You ask them.
You ask them. You ask the rule of questions.
The rule of thumb in NLP with regards to states is you try it on. So you try on the state. So the person said, I was hospitalized for a phobia and I'd like to collapse that together. Then you could try on that state and you could see how much of a phobia would that have to be hospitalized for. And then you go, no, I think that's not one we'd use this for this demo.
Even let's say somebody says, every time my boss looks at me a certain way, it drives me nuts, and it just drives me up the wall, and I just cannot stand it anymore. Now, in your mind as a trainer, you may think, okay, this may be related to one of the major negative emotions. Either it's related to anger, which is one of the major negative emotions, or it's related to anxiety, which is related to fear, which is one of the major negative emotions. So you don't want to pick up that subject. Yeah.
There are four major negative emotions.
You just ask enough questions so you know exactly what state it is, and you know exactly that is a minor state. I mean, mild frustration is very different from rage.
When I get frustrated in traffic, that's fine. When I get frustrated in traffic and go beat the crap out of the guy's car next to me with a tire iron, that's not a minor state.
So you ask enough questions. Yes.
Pretty much, yeah, not in L.A.
Yes, in the pre-qualifying part.
Yeah, what's the state? What's the negative? Who has this negative state they'd like to get rid of? What's the state? What's the context? That would be all part of your qualifying. Good. Next is chaining anchors. Now, chaining anchors.
When you demonstrate chaining anchors,
it says here, pay attention to the following issues. Decide
before,
the first
before
and
that,
last day.
You do only procrastination to motivation.
You only do procrastination to motivation as a demo, if you're going to demo it.
At the practitioner level.
All the chains of anchors we gave you at trainer's training, it's very glamorous and it's very fun to think about chaining those out. But I wouldn't teach it at practitioner. And it's the master practitioners don't even need it unless they're doing presentations, because that's what they were about. At the practitioner level, I give them procrastination to motivation. And I say, unless you never procrastinate, and if you never procrastinate, come and see me and I'll give you another set of to do. And then the other set that I would give them would be a stuck no options to going for it. And stuck no options look like this, and then I say, look up, stuck no options look like this. I'm stuck and I'm grumpy about it and I'm not going to move. That's stuck no options. And you cross your hands when you do that. Cross your arms across your chest. And the whole physiology. Yeah. So it says here, decide the first and the last state. And then you have to get the criteria for the intermediate states, all of that. You have to teach this before you demo it in a practitioner training. If you get chaining anchors to demo during this training, you won't have to teach all of these things here.
But you will have to keep them in mind when you choose the intermediate states. The criteria for the intermediate states, you'll have to keep that in mind. And also you'll have to make sure you anchor all the states, including procrastination, and especially procrastination. Why? Because procrastination is usually a dissociated state. When somebody procrastinates, they are not really associated into it. Yeah,
it's usually quite dissociated. So for procrastination, you've got to make sure you stack it at least, I don't know, three or four times.
Three or four times, yeah. Then you need to break states in between. If you don't break states in between procrastination and state number, intermediary one, or intermediary one and intermediary two, it won't fail you. But if you don't break state in between the motivation and going back to procrastination to check,
what will happen is you'll create a loop if you don't break state at the end of the chain.
And they'll feel very motivated to procrastinate. That's what will happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it says in the script.
But if you forget and you don't, it won't fail you. However, it will fail you if you forget after the last one. Yeah. So please remember.
The major thing for procrastination to motivation is to make sure that all the states are stacked, highly stacked.
Three, four times at least.
At least three, four times, possibly five times for procrastination. How does that go? Can you remember a time when you were totally procrastinating? Yes. Good.
Remember specific time. As you go back to the time, step into your body, see what you saw here, what you have, feel the feeling of being procrastinating.
So okay. You anchor that. Then you say, good, can you remember another time when you were totally procrastinating? And you anchor that. You say, good, can you remember another time? get as many iterations of procrastination as they can possibly remember. Because why? Because that'll take it cross-contextual. Ah. So you anchor at least 5 times they procrastinated. We'll take it, hopefully, beyond the individual procrastinations. Chaining anchors should never be done with one event. It should be done with a series of them.
Yes.
Yes. No,
yes.
Yeah. Now you work out with the client what the intermediate states are. Now, in procrastinate, in my trainings, I don't let people do anything other than procrastination to motivation or stuck no options to going for it. Although the client and the practitioner will have to decide the first and last state during their therapy. Yeah, if it's not those two. Question? Yeah, you could suggest context if they weren't coming up with enough states. Well, let's say they had 3 states of procrastination, or 3 times, 3 contexts. So you say, can you remember so you got all 3 of those anchored. Then you say, can you remember another time when you were totally procrastinating, and they say no. So then you go, okay, well, let's go back to the first time. Can you go back to the first time you procrastinated? So they go, yeah, and then you anchor that again. So re-anchor the same time if you run out of times, re-anchor the same times a couple of times if you need to.
Now, the people in your training who are there for free therapy will try to convince you that they don't want to do procrastination to motivation. They want to do something else.
Actually,
we are very strong.
There's a fair amount of people that come for free therapy during your practice. It's not bad. I mean, for $2,000, it's the cheapest 1 or 2 weeks of therapy you can possibly
However,
get.
They are not yet in the position to determine which intervention is for what problem. And they most likely will choose the wrong problem for the chain of anchors.
They'll choose the biggest problem they've got for chaining anchors. They'll think, oh.
Which probably will require about 3 hours of detailed personal history and so on and so forth.
I don't want to do procrastination and motivation. I can't find a job, so let's chain that into finding a job. That won't work. Because can't find a job
is not a minor
state. It's not only not a state, it's not even a behavior. It's a not behavior. So you won't be able to chain that for anything. Okay, any questions on... Yes.
Second state, yeah.
No. Hakalau state's not a state. It's a behavior. It's peripheral vision. Peripheral vision's a behavior. It's keeping your attention out here. It installs a state, but it's a behavior.
It installs a trance state. However, why is a trance state not a good state?
No movement. A trance state.
Remember?
Do you move when you're in trance? Even if. A trance state has no movement. That's why it's not a good state.
When you're in trance, you are most likely to...
Have you ever been running around when you were in trance? I mean, like... Well, I'm totally in trance, man. I'm totally in trance. This is great. I'm so zonked out. I can't even... Wait a minute. I'm moving. Okay. What's happening when you try to do that? I'm damned if
I know. So you're visualizing that. The question is not what you're visualizing. The question is what do you feel? We're talking about states.
State. That's not a state, it's a behavior. Hakalau is a behavior. What you're doing is you're visualizing that happening. A state is...
You still didn't answer my question, what's your state?
Can you remember a time when you're totally powerful? Remember a specific time? Good. That's a state. You might be doing the same behavior. But a time when you felt totally powerful is different from doing the process of peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Because doing the process of peripheral vision is a behavior. It's really good to sort these things out. Yeah. Okay. Yes. What's that?
Being alert. You have to ask your client.
Is it intense?
I don't know how intense it is. If I put it on.
When I try it on, I have you ever gone like this? Whoa, I'm totally alert. This is great. Wow. And why do you laugh? You laugh because it's incongruent.
Yeah.
It's the wrong word. Totally motivated, yes. Totally excited, yes. Totally fired up, yes. Totally alert? I don't think so. Whoa, I'm totally alert. In fact, I'm so alert, I'd like to talk. How's it going? Good to see you today. Anyway, that's what I do. By the way, Dimitar, this is what runs through my mind when clients say that kind of thing.
So immediately you put it on. Remember we said you try that word, that state they give you on.
Try it on. Totally alert. Am I fired up and going for it? No, but I'm alert.
Alert doesn't necessarily imply movement. However, you can be alert and notice everything that goes around you, but you don't move. So you need to try it on and establish if it has all the conditions for intermediary states. Yeah.
The students. By the way, strategy elicitation is one of the topics on demo day. Mm-hmm. You can choose to elicit strategies from eye patterns, or you can choose to elicit strategies from the script. You could do it either way in a demo. You probably ought to be prepared to do it either way when you teach your first practitioner training. You need to teach your students to clearly sort out the difference between motivation, decision, convincer, and reassurance. That's so clearly done on the tapes and on the CDs that I'm not going to cover that again. If you're teaching strategy elicitation and you've outlined the tapes or CDs, you ought to be able to clearly sort out the difference between motivation, decision, convincer, and reassurance.
Where starts the decision? Where finishes the motivation? What's the convincer? Where starts the reassurance?
You must demo with someone with clear... Oh, so how do you... What's the first thing? Someone with clear eye patterns. So again, you're going to do the eye tracking. You're going to do the normally versus reverse organized. And then in your strategy... See, I don't even teach eye patterns until we get to strategies in my practitioner training because we're doing a week... Only doing a 1 week. So we do the eye patterns. First we do the tracking, then we do the eye patterns demo, and then we do the strategy demo. But in your case, during your demo, you'll have to demonstrate eye normally versus reverse organized when you do strategies as a separate demo from strategies. If you're chosen to do a strategy elicitation demo, you'll have to demo normally versus reverse organized before you do strategy elicitation, unless you're smart enough to pick the same demo subject.
That's been before, already demonstrated normally versus reverse organized, which is the eye pattern elicitation. Yeah?
Huh. Yes.
Okay. That didn't register.
When you demonstrate, you understand we're talking about strategy elicitation demo, yes? In the demo day, when you demonstrate strategy elicitation, unless the subject has already been demoed as normally organized, you'll have to determine before you do the strategy elicitation whether the person is normally organized or reverse organized. Unless you're smart enough to pick the same person.
If it's a good demo subject.
Hint, hint, hint. If you're smart, you would. I don't know. I'm not sure